pastor of the largest independent missionary Baptist church like Jesus built in all of Southern California. Matter of fact, it's the only one there. And I do bring you greetings from the Grace Missionary Baptist Church in Ontario, California. And they do send their love. They appreciate you in the Lord. And they've been praying for this conference and for the time of fellowship. We thank God for the opportunity and the privilege to be here with you and to try to bring a message from God's Word and fellowship with you. And I would like to try as best I can with my limited vocabulary to tell you that I appreciate from the depths of my heart the love and the fellowship, the honor that has been shown to us here, the expressions of love. It's beyond my vocabulary to tell you how I appreciate it. And I can never tell you this out of heaven, but oh, the blessings that wait for you in glory for this time that you have shown us. We appreciate you so very much. Paul passed by Mars Hill, and a bunch of philosophers were there, and they had a monument to an unknown God, and he said, "Now I want to preach to you about this unknown God." Of course, that's on the song about standing on the solid rock. I want to preach to you today about this solid rock. God give me grace to do so. Open your Bible to the book of Hebrews. Now, don't get excited, brethren. I've only got 19 pages. And God give me grace, I'm going to preach all of it. I ask you to pray for me. I'm trying to bring a message from God's Word. I love to preach. That's what God called me to do. Messed up a good truck driver. But I always preach like it's going to be the last one. The Lord might come any minute. Might come before we get finished. We attempt to take a text from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 1. Also, we'd like to invite you to, if you're coming to California on vacation or if you're coming that way, please drop by and see us. We have plenty of bedrooms. We'll feed you to the best of our ability. We'll treat you kind. We'll keep you up all night. We'll talk with you. We'll pray with you. We'll rejoice with you. We'll cry with you. We just love to have you stop by and see us. If you're coming that way, you're welcome. Also, we're having a Bible conference in our fourth anniversary. Our church will be 4 years old on the 6th day of June. And sometime around the 2nd of June, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, we'll be having our annual Bible conference also. Now, we can't afford to pay people's way there, but if you come, if you preach, brother, come, we'll preach you, okay? And if anyone else should happen to be coming that way, stop by and see us, and it would please our people to death, and we'll do our best to put you up and be kind to you. All right. In Hebrews chapter 3, I'd like to read a whole lot of scripture, but we'll just read one verse, and because that's all we'll have time to deal with today. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Great God in heaven, we bow in thy divine presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. We are thankful, Father, that you've been mindful of us since before the foundation of the world, and that in time you called us through the preaching of thy word and the operation of the Holy Spirit, that you picked us up out of the mire of this world and set us up on the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, that you keep us by thy power. We thank you, Father, that you have made me a member of your church and called me to preach thy word. And I pray just now, great God, that you might be pleased to cleanse me from all filthiness and unrighteousness and create within me a clean heart and a contrite spirit. And, oh God, allow the Holy Spirit for Jesus' sake to preach through me this day the message that is needful for the hour. Oh Lord, I pray that you might give the people understanding hearts and that we might all rejoice in the word being preached. Father, I pray that you would keep me from doing any foolish preaching. But, oh God, if it would please you, make me a fool for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. I am convinced today that we have many sad-faced Baptists because they do not consider Christ Jesus. If we considered who he was, we'd do more. We'd be more thankful. We'd be more humble. Now, our text passage says, wherefore, holy brethren. And somebody says, you a holiness, Brother Clyde? I sure am. Sanctified, glorified, and all of that. Holy brethren, that means separated by the blood of the Lamb, separated from the world. Brethren, that means we have the same Father, doesn't it? The Almighty God. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Can't be partakers of the heavenly calling without being saved by God's amazing grace. He says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. When a traveler passes very rapidly through a country, the eye has little or no time to rest upon the beauty of that country and the beauty of God's creation. My wife and I drove from Ontario, California here, and we really had to move to get that 2,500 miles. And as we drove along, we had very little time to look at things. And there were all kinds of places of interest, but there was no time to look upon the beauty of that and to linger. So we had to go very rapidly and get here. So when we got here, there's not much of an impression left in our mind. The only thing that we can remember is the snow in New Mexico and the snow in Kentucky and the snow in Michigan. We only remember a little bit about that, and we almost forgot about the beautiful sunshine in sunny Southern California. But as we travel so rapidly and no time to look upon the beauty of God's creation, it leaves little or no impression upon our mind of the area through which we travel. And this is how it is that death and judgment and eternity makes little or no impressions upon the mind of most people passing through this life. They pass through so fast. They are seeking pleasures. They're going to and fro. And it is very little wonder that today that death means nothing to people. They think that death is for somebody else and it's not going to come upon them. But, beloved, if you live long enough, death will come and judgment will come. And we need to be concerned about a place that we'll spend an eternity in today. And it needs to make an impression upon us. It doesn't. I'll tell you why we got ice cubes on the pews today in Baptist churches is because we got polar bears in a pulpit. Most folks never stop to think, but they hurry on through life, and they find themselves in eternity before they have ever asked the question, what must I do to be saved? Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad? They never ask the question, let alone get the answer. More souls are lost through want of consideration than in any other way. The reason men do not awake and become anxious for their souls and consider Christ is that the devil has them blinded to the gospel of Christ. And they are sound asleep in the lap of the devil, and not many loudmouth Baptist preachers trying to wake them up. Everybody preaches so soft and tender. Therefore, God cries out to some, not everybody, He cries out to some, stop, sinner! Stop! Think! Consider your ways. Aren't you glad he said that to you? I'm glad that he said it to me in the fall of 1968 in a little town called Casita, Georgia, in a Baptist preacher's living room. Stop, sinner, think, and consider Christ. Also, the devil, in about the same way, he tries to make the saved doubt that God provides for them. He hurries them off to work on the 7 o'clock shift, and then they hurry to make the 7:15 shift, and then they work the third shift. Mamas and daddies both working, trying to provide for their children, trying to provide clothing and education and all of these things. My Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto ye. But the devil then says, you've got to keep up with the Tituses. Didn't mean to call any name. You've got to keep up with the Joneses. Brother Clark, I'm going to get me two bird dogs if I can. I promise not to tell any bird dog jokes. But anyway, the devil does that to us, don't he? He just makes us work, 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 work. We got to have this. We got to have this. We got to have that. My little grandbaby, she never said, I want that. She said, I need that. So therefore, God cries out to some, stop. Think. Stop. And think. Know what God has said to us in His Word about providing for His own. Turn in your Bible to a very familiar piece of Scripture in the book of Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And He said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? I tell you, we get the idea sometimes that God saved us and left us on our own just to go wherever we would and provide for ourselves. David said, I was young and now I'm old, and never have I seen God's children begging for bread. Shame on Baptists that don't consider Christ. Romans chapter 8, I can't get into all of this, and I know I can't, but just to tell you a little bit, Romans chapter 8 says, somewhere around verse 31, says, God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but gave him up freely for all of us, how shall he not also freely give us all things? And some people say, that's just some things. No, that means all of them. That means all of them. God's not stingy and He's not broke. And the storehouse of grace is still plenty of it there. In the same way also, the devil tries to make the saved live uncomfortable and unholy lives. A lot of people think if you live a holy life, you're going to be uncomfortable. You've got it backwards, folks. If you live, if you're saved by God's amazing grace and you live a worldly life, you're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be so miserable you can't stand it. I'll tell you the only way to be comfortable is to be right up close to God. When my daddy used to whip me, he used to hold it way out there and with that razor stab, boom, boom. And you know how we try to get out of that whipping? Get right up close to it. It could hit the heart. And I'll tell you what, when you get up close to God, you'll be comfortable. Now, O Satan, he beguiles God's people away from simply looking to Jesus. All he asks you is simply look to the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he hurries them away to look at a thousand other things. You know, we got to look at the monument. We got to look at this. We got to go out to the graveyard and see Papa's tombstone. We got to do this and we got to do that. And we just got to look at a lot of things. And then we look at the world around about us. We look at the ungodly. And we look at the TV. We look at the evening news. We look at the, as the world turns, and all of our children at the General Hospital. And we're looking at books. We read commentators. We read all kinds of things that did not pertain to godly things. And we get in a heap of trouble and we start looking at the world for help. And I remind you that Peter, when he said, "Lord, if it be thee, bid me come to thee on the water," the Lord Jesus Christ didn't preach him a 2-hour sermon. He just simply said, "Come," and Peter walked on the water to the Lord Jesus Christ until the waves got coming up over him, and he got scared, and he started looking at the waves, and Peter started to sink, didn't he? I'll tell you, beloved, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. God says, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. And here in our text, God says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. He said, look unto me and be saved. Look unto me and be saved. Yes, my friend, God says, consider Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad he changes not? Boy, I am. And if God be willing, then that will be our message here this afternoon, considering Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that God might cry out to all of us assembled here in this auditorium, that he might cry out to all of us through the message, stop, think, and consider Christ Jesus. In our message this afternoon, we want to note 3 things. First of all, believers. Now, I'm not talking about what the modern world calls believers. Now, I'm talking about blood-bought children of God, okay? If you're bought by the blood of the Lamb, then we should live in daily consideration of the greatness and the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Secondly, we ought to consider Christ as the apostle or messenger of God. And thirdly, consider Christ as the high priest of our profession. First of all, believers should live in daily consideration of the greatness and the glory of Christ. There was once a time when time was not. You might say, "Brother Clyde, that's redundant. I don't know how else to say it." But there was, in eternity past, no time. There was a time when there was no earth, there was no sun nor moon, there was no stars shining in the heaven, there was no seas or rivers or waters, there was no fishes, there was no birds, there was no men. There was a time when no creature could be found, no angels with golden harps singing heavenly songs. There was a time when only God was. Woo! And it tops me, don't you? Woo! Question. Where was Jesus then? Answer, he was with God. There was a time when things were not, but there never has been a time when Jesus was not. Woo, that excites me. John chapter 1 and verse 1 said, in the beginning, the Word was with God. And the Word was God. I like that. Woo, thrilled my soul. So where was he? Well, beloved, he was near to God. He was in perfect harmony and perfect glory and perfect happiness with God the Father. They wasn't bickering about anything either. Where was Jesus? He was in the bosom of the Father. In John chapter 1 and verse 18 says he was in the bosom of the Father. He was in perfect glory with the Father. In the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17, and I believe it's verse 5, when Jesus prayed the intercession prayer for us, he said, "Now glorify me, Father, with the glory that I had with you before the world was." Woo! That's where he was. Question. Now, I get excited about preaching like this, and I hope you do too. Question. What was Jesus then? Answer. He was God. The same as he was when he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, he was God. The same as he was when he went yonder Calvary cross, he was God. The same as he was when he went to the grave, he was God. The same when he arose, he was God. The Bible says the Word was with God and was God. He was equal with God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was rich. Yes, he was rich. He had all the glory of heaven, and he left it for unworthy sinners such as I. The Apostle Paul, writing to the First Baptist Church at Corinth, he said somewhere around 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, he that was rich became poor for us, don't you see? So he became poor that you and I might be rich. And we are rich today if we're saved by God's amazing grace. And we need to consider that richness in Christ Jesus. Not broke. My father got it all. He was the brightness of his father's glory, and he was the expressed image of his person. Now, brethren, I would to God that I might be granted the grace to lift you away by the preaching of the word to that time when God was alone from all eternity to show you the glory of Jesus Christ then, to show you how he dwelt in the bosom of God the Father and was daily his delight. I pray that I might show you that this glorious being is the one who came from his home in glory to take upon himself the form of a man, to keep the law perfectly, offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of his people, suffer all of our hell, went to the grave and arose the third day for our justification. And all I can say to that is, hallelujah, what a Savior. Yes, my beloved, consider Jesus Christ. Look long and look earnestly and weigh every consideration in the balance of sound judgment. Consider his rank. He was equal with God. His nearness with God. His dearness to God the Father. He was the expressed image of the Almighty God. Consider his power. He spake, and it was so. The Bible says never a man spake like this man. You know something else? Never a man was born like that man. And never a man died like that man. And never a man arose like that man. And never will a man be coming in glory like that man. And now let's consider his glory. Let's consider his glory. All of the glory the Father had, Jesus had. Consider and say, do you think you would entrust your soul to him? I would. I did. I didn't do it all. He did it, and I thought I did. Do you think he would be a sufficient Savior? Oh, brethren, I would to God that every soul here might cry out, He is enough, I want no other. Amen. Most people get saved and they want just a little bit more, don't they?
Yeah.
Lord, won't you turn my light on? He did when he saved you. It's not his fault you got a dirty chimney on it. Clean that up and it'll shine right through, won't it? Huh? What's your will? Well, we want to get to be matured Christian before we ever learn to crawl. Sanctification is progressive. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Need to grow. Again, there was a time when this world sprang into being. When the sun began to shine and the earth and the seas began to smile, there was a time when the happy angels of heaven sprang into being, singing, Holy, 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 and doing the commandments of the Lord. There was a time when grass and trees appeared. Grasshoppers, mosquitoes, birds and bees, and all of these creatures appeared. There was a time when the morning star sang out. And then there was a time that I recall when the Almighty God of glory, evidently he must have bowed down into this imperfect earth and took the dust of this earth and he formed and he shaped and he formed it just like he wanted it. And it was a dead piece of clay. And he breathed over and he breathed in his nostrils. The breath of life and he became a living soul.
Amen.
Amen. You knew it was Jesus. Yeah. Yes, it was a time when man became a living soul. Now, question for you. What was Jesus doing then? Well, the answer is very simply stated in the Word of God. He was making the heavens and the earth. What he would do it. Colossians 1:16 said that there ain't nothing made but what was made by. And ain't nothing that stays together but what isn't kept by. I'm glad he's got his hands on it. Some of them automobiles would fall apart long before then. He didn't. Oh, my brother, could I lift you away for a moment or so back to that wonderful day and show you Jesus calling all of the angels into being, hanging the earth upon nothing. Could you hear the voice? Now imagine just a moment, turning your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Never a man spake like this man. Now listen, he had the authority to speak it and authority to back it up. And everything that is, he spoke into existence. Now hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, in Genesis chapter 1, there you'll find it all the way through there. He said, let there be light. You know what most people have us believe? They'd have us believe that the light said, wait a little longer, please, Jesus. But it didn't. When he said, let there be light, there was light. And people don't get a little bit born today and a little bit born again tomorrow. When he says, come, you come. Irresistible grace. And light springs forth because he shines it abroad in her heart by the Holy Spirit. Hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. That's him. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 9, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and it did. Yeah, that's where Jesus was. That's what he was doing. Now Jesus, when he said, let us make man in our own image, In Genesis, I believe that it's chapter 1 and verse 27. Now, in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our own image. Let us make man. I believe that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is represented there in the plural noun Elohim. Now, don't you see Jesus Christ there as he formed that man from the earth? Yes, my friend, it is the same Jesus that came to earth from heaven to seek and to save the lost. Aren't you glad? That same Jesus. Consider Jesus Christ and see if you think he will be a sufficient Savior. Yes, look long and earnestly. Good news. Good news for you, old sinner. If this mighty being has undertaken for you, got bad news for you, sinner. If he didn't, you're in a heap of trouble. I'm glad he undertook for me on yonder cross. Pay my sin debt. You say, preacher, how will I ever find out? Trust and obey. There's no other way. Now, won't that get it? Find out if your name's been written down. It won't be just written down, but you have to find out if it's written down before the foundation of the world. And if it is, he'll never erase it out because he didn't put no eraser on his pencil. Don't make no mistakes. Yes, look long and earnestly. Is he your Savior today? If he is, you ought to rejoice because there's none other besides him. Now I have considered, by his grace, I have considered Jesus Christ, and I cannot doubt the sureness and the completeness of my salvation in him. On Jesus Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I've drunk for 20 years. When the Lord saved my soul, I was an active alcoholic from the time I was 16 years old until the day the Lord saved my soul. And I tried to find peace and contentment in Yokohama and Tokyo. I tried to find peace and contentment on Mount Fuji and Yongdong Po and Weijianbu and Pusan, in Frankfurt and Nuremberg and Hamburg, all the way around this world. And there was no peace, Brother Hilly, to have he had until one day in a little town that's not even on the map in Casita, Georgia, Jesus Christ came to visit one day and I was there. He touched me! Woo! What glory filled my soul. And no doubt in my mind about the sureness and the complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the work of creation is long past. Jesus has been upon the earth, and now he is not here, but he is risen. Some 1900, almost 2000 years or more have passed since Christ was upon the earth. Question, where is Jesus now? Answer, he is at the right hand of God in heaven. Woo! The old preaching deacon from the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem, he went out there and he preached a hard message and it cut him to the marrow of the bone. And they ran on him and started throwing large rocks at him. Somebody said they stoned him, but they just rocked him to sleep. And as they did, he knelt down and heaven opened up and he saw Jesus at the right hand side of the Father. Boy, we need to see him there. I tell you, our preaching would be more effective today. Amen. We wouldn't be afraid of those snares and those long looks. Amen. We wouldn't be afraid of that opposition in the congregation. Amen. We wouldn't be afraid of all of those that are opposed to us. Amen. Oh, that God might be pleased to open up heaven to his preachers and let us see Jesus and God and Son of God. Amen. My My prayer for us now, that God give us grace to be lifted up in the Spirit, that we might by faith see Jesus afar off, that we might by faith look upon His face, that we might see Him there in heaven pleading our case. We might see Him there interceding for us. He knows all about our weaknesses. Boy, we get up before our church and we tell them how weak we are and how ignorant and everything. God knows all about that. He made your mouth. He gave you what education you got. He gave you what ability you got. He knows all about you. Amen. Let's just preach it. Amen. Oh, that if God would allow us today to see what the last thing that gets passed from this life to the next life is seeing right now. Wouldn't that be glory for us? Woo. Won't that be glory for me? Lord, hasten the day that my faith will be made sight. Can you see the Lamb? Can you see Him there in heaven? Can you see the scars of the five deep wounds? Can you see this Lamb without spot, without blemish? The only thing in heaven made by man. Scars. Can you see Him there with the scars of these five deep wounds? A nail print in each hand. A nail print in each foot. Can you see the wound in the side where the spear went in and the blood and the water gushed out? Can you see Him there today? Consider Him. If you can, beloved, it'll make you rejoice. It'll make you rejoice. Can you see Him there? Surrounded by all of the redeemed, whose number no man can count. Can you see those there that He elected before the foundation of the world and through the ages called them by the preaching of the word? Can you see old Abraham standing there? Can you hear Isaac and Joseph? Can you hear old Moses singing, redeemed by the blood? Hey. Can you hear him singing, worthy is the Lamb? If you can't, you better be practicing, because that's what we're doing today, practicing for heaven. Somebody said, what are we going to do, Brother Clyde, when we get to heaven? We're just going to praise God. Is that all? Ain't that enough? We can't praise Him now. And now one of the elders around the throne tells us, this is He that took your place on the cross of Calvary. This is He that bore your sins in His body. This is He that suffered your equivalent to an eternity in hell. This is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Isn't that glorious? The elder says, this is He that paid it all. Nothing else to pay. I'm glad He didn't just make a down payment. I'm glad He made all of it. This is He that became the second Adam. And so there He is upon the very throne of heaven, considering. And then you ought to cry, hallelujah, what a Savior. Look long and earnestly upon His wounds. Look upon His glory and tell me, do you think it would be safe and wise to trust Him? I do. Do you think His suffering and obedience will have been enough to save all that will repent and believe? I do. I don't have to worry about it. He said He would. Yes. Yes. Every soul explains, Lord, it is enough. Lord, stay Thy hand. Show me no more, for I can bear no more. Or rather, let me ever stand and gaze upon the Almighty, all worthy, all divine Savior, until my soul drinks in complete assurance that He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Let me gaze upon Him by faith until the time comes that my faith will be sight and I'll see Him as He is. I'll wake in His presence satisfied. And won't that be glory for me? We ought to be satisfied today in His finished work because He said it's finished. He didn't tell any lies. He didn't hem-haw around. He didn't stutter. It's finished. Yes, I have that assurance today. I have it this day. Do you? May God give you grace to believe His work is complete, that it's finished, that He paid it all. And I now plead to you that are saved. Some of you here readily admit that you have been bought by the blood of the Lamb, that you have repented of your sins and you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet you have no abiding peace. You have no comfort. You have no joy. You look like a Texas mule eating blars. And you seem not to grow in grace and knowledge and holiness. Why is this? Why is it, folks? Why is it? I tell you now, it's not because Jesus isn't sufficient. It is because that our eye is fixed somewhere other than on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it is. We may be busy looking at books. We may be busy looking at men. First 5 years of my ministry, I couldn't get my eyes off Eugene Clark and Al Gormley. And some of the other great giants, and I thank God for them. I praise God for them. I thank God that I've had the privilege to know them. But, beloved, we need to get our eyes on Jesus. He'll not disappoint us. He'll not let us down. He is satisfying, and He is always in season. No wonder, Christians, no wonder, Baptists, have so little peace. We need to pray more earnestly, oh God, help my unbelief. Amen. I'm preaching to me too. I told my wife one day, I said, I just don't know what it is that we can't get right with the Lord or can't get happy or something. She said, if you believe what you preach, you would be. I thank God for a good, faithful wife. We preach it all the time, don't we? And then we get up there under the juniper tree and cry our eyes out. And ain't nobody under the juniper tree but us. All alone. And I tell you, no wonder that Baptists live so inconsistent and unholy life. Change your plan. Change your game plan. Consider the greatness and the glory of Christ, who has undertaken all in the stead of sinners. And you will find it quite impossible to walk in darkness. Because He said, I'm the light of the world. And in Him is no darkness. There is no darkness there, my friends. Oh, how our thoughts sometimes belittle the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, we think He can't do nothing without our help. Isn't that right? Oh, we just take our children to Him and we say, Lord, you know how mean they are. You know how disobedient they are. Just whip the socks off of them. Wait a minute, Lord, I'll help you. Turn them over to Him and leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. He'll handle it. He'll take care of it. And He'll bless your soul. Oh, Christians, lift up your eyes from yourself. Oh, downcast believer, look up. Oh, doubter, look up. Oh, you poor, miserable Baptist, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Oh, that God might grant unto us today the grace to get our eyes off of people and get them on a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take our place. And now I plead to any that might be here lost. Have you understood that Jesus Christ has always been? Have you understood that He is God? He came to seek and to save the lost. He shed blood on Calvary. The shed blood that He shed there is sufficient to save all that will come to him in repentance and childlike faith. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast him out. Want to find out your name's written down? Repent of your sins and turn toward God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What must I do, Brother Clyde, to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Repent of your sins right where you are and ask God to be merciful to you for Jesus' sake. Will he save me, Brother Clyde? He saved me. He saved me. Now, you may ask the question, repent and believe. But I want to make it unmistakably clear right now that there's no salvation without repentance. That's the message. Repent and believe. Repentance never saved anybody. Repentance merely puts you in a position to ask the sovereign God to be merciful to you. And then he'll do it his good pleasure. Lost sinners might say, how do I know that he'll save me? Trust him. Simply trust him. Secondly, consider Christ as the apostle or the messenger of God. The word apostle means messenger. One ordained and sent on a particular mission. Now Christ is an apostle for God, ordained and sent by him unto the world to do what? To redeem his people to himself. To reconcile a lost world. And that don't mean everybody in the world. That means lost sinners that he chose before the foundation of the world. He sent him to redeem them, to buy them back. I like that word redeem, don't you? Redeemed. Oh, how I love to proclaim it. Woo, redeemed by the blood. Now, in the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is most often called the angel of the Lord. That means messenger of the Lord. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Abraham, etc., etc. Now, he's also called the messenger of the covenant. He is called God's elect, chosen for the work. He is called God's steward. He is called the Messiah, or the Christ, or the anointed one. You know why? Because God anointed him and sent him. See? He's a messenger of God. In the New Testament, over and over again, Christ calls himself the sent one. And this is what I hope to show you from the Word of God, that God sent Christ to save lost sinners, that you might consider Christ Jesus. First and foremost, we note that he was sent by God the Father. Don't have time to get into all the scripture, brother, but look in your Bible, in the book of John, anywhere you want to look, especially in John chapter 5, verses 36 and 38, in the book of John anywhere, and you'll find that God sent his son Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? All right. He sent him then. So there's no argument there, is there? All right. Now we know the mission that God the Father sent his son unto the world to do. He came to preach. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to give sight to the blind. He came to set at liberty those in bonds. And he came to preach. I'll tell you what. He give more sight to more people than any miracle that we've ever heard of in the medical field. And he set at liberty those that were bound. We never bound to sin, and they do lost, if you please, to sin. He set us free. Who did? God's messenger, Jesus Christ. Whoa, set me free. Had no freedom to serve God until Jesus Christ come along. And he set me free and set me at liberty to do what? To serve him. Amen. Out of bondage, into bondage. Amen. Out of bondage of sin, into bondage of righteousness. Amen. Because Jesus Christ came. All right. He came to do the work of God the Father. John chapter 9, verse 4, said he came to do the work of the Father. He came to do what the law could not do. The law made no man holy. The high priest had to go in and offer a sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. They kept the law all year, and every year they had to do it over. And Jesus Christ, when he did it once, he said, "Now the right hand's of it." Forever. Forever. We're getting that a little bit more. He came to do away with the law that he might establish the second covenant. He came to redeem his people from the law. Galatians 4:4. He had redeemed us from the curse of the law. I'm glad he did. He came that his people might live. He said, "Because I live, you might live also." We'll never die, Brother Jones. Ain't going to die no more. Died one time on the cross of Calvary with Jesus Christ. That's it. All right. He came as a propitiation for the sins of his people. Not the sins of the world now. Not everybody, but for his people. If any man can come to God, it'll be through Jesus Christ. You see? And that's what he come for. That was the only way it could be. That was the only sacrifice that God would be pleased with, was the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, he came that his people might be saved from their sins. I'll tell you what, people say, "Well, you get election out of the Bible. Where do you start with election?" I usually start in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. "That she shall bring forth the Son, his name shall be Jesus, for he shall save his people." That's election. That's all I'll say on election. All right. Brother, you can see that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to take our place. He sent him to be our substitute. He died in our stead of lost sinners, that I would not have to die. That I would not have to die. Oh, sinner friend, would you just now consider Christ Jesus and repent of your sins and ask God to save you for Jesus' sake? Oh, Christian, would you just now consider Christ Jesus and rejoice in the great salvation that you have in Jesus Christ? Consider him, folks, and you'll be happy. And may all of us have been given the grace to look on Christ until our peace like a river flows and our righteousness as sea billows roll. I'll tell you, there's peace in the land. There's peace in the land. And may the lost sinner consider Christ Jesus. And it's my prayer that God give you grace to cry out, "Abba, Father." Thirdly, let's consider Christ as the high priest of our profession. The duty of the high priest was twofold. First, it was to make atonement. And second, it was to make intercession. When the high priest killed the goat at the altar of the burnt offerings, he did in the presence of all the people to make atonement for them. And they all stood around and gazing and considering their high priest. And when he gathered the blood into the basin, and he put on the garments of the priest, and he passed through the veil into the place called the Holy of Holies, they watched him as they went in the tabernacle, even though the veil hid his sight from them. And no doubt they wondered, he must be approaching the mercy seat. He must be about ready to sprinkle the blood for his sin. Their thought, no doubt, went with him. Now he's sprinkling the blood for our sin. And they thought, but they couldn't start rejoicing until he turned to walk away and they heard the bells on his door. And they knew that God had overlooked their sins another year. But the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. Because they had to go up once a year, didn't they? And he had to offer the sins or the sacrifice for his own sins. Now then, so they followed him. But brother, let's consider Christ Jesus, our high priest. Amen. Let's consider him first of all making atonement for us. In the book of Hebrews, he said he did it all. The high priest went in. And he offered a sacrifice for his sins. He sprinkled blood for his sins and for the people.
But Jesus Christ had no sin. He had no sin. And he'd only been offered one time. If it wasn't sufficient, friends, you'd have to bring him back down the hills of glory and nail him to the old rugged cross again. But beloved, when he finished it one time, he said, it's finished. I don't know how he took the blood into the Holy of Holies, but in the book of Hebrews it said he's entered into the place not made with hands, but he's entered into heaven itself in the presence of God.
Amen.
He didn't take his blood to pay his sin debt. He took his blood to pay my sin debt. And he did it one time, look at me, and he stepped down forever to the hands of God. Yes, beloved, consider that. Ain't never been a man made atonement like Jesus. My brethren, the atonement had been made. Christ had died. His suffering is past. So we can enjoy peace. If not, it is because we do not consider Christ. Consider. Did Christ die in the stead of guilty sinners? And do you consent to take Jesus to be the man in your stead? Then you need not die. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, happy believer, rejoice forevermore. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith in God, we are at peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Live with inside of Calvary, and you will live inside of glory. Our brother sang that song, and I'll go to live on Zion Hill. I thought I was going. And I'll tell you what, that's the way we need to be. If we'll live inside of Calvary, we'll always see glory. His glory. Now, let's consider Christ. You've just got just a little bit more to go. Please pray for me as I conclude, and I don't mean to keep you too long. But let's consider Christ in making intercession for his people. Christ has entered into heaven itself, the Bible says, right into the very presence of the Almighty God. And Satan accused us, brother. He said, look at that old dumb clown Hancock. He sinned again, and Jesus said, look at him through my blood, Father. And the Almighty God looked at him through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and though my sins be as scarlet, they're white as snow. God looked at me like I never had any sin. I didn't say I wasn't guilty. I am guilty, but I'm justified in the blood of the Lamb. Let Satan accuse all he wants to. But I have a lawyer that never lost a case. Lord Jesus Christ. Interceding for me. A lot of scriptures I'd like to go to in this. The Bible's full of them too. Hebrews chapter 7, 1 John 2, Romans 8. They're all there. Now, fellow Christian, will you consider Christ Jesus with me? That we might have the joy that he spoke of in John 15. You know, a lot of Baptists get the idea, well, if I join that Baptist church, well, I'll be the saddest person in town. That's wrong. People get the idea just because you're saved, washed in the blood, that you have to look sad all the time, have no fun. Well, I have a lot of fun. It's fun to be saved. I'm glad God saved my soul. And he wants you to have joy. If he didn't want you to have joy in your heart, he wouldn't have told you so. But in John chapter 15, verse 11, he said, I'll tell you these things that my joy might be in you, and your joy might be full.
Amen.
If I served a little old Jesus in a manger that some people serve, I'd be sad-faced too. But I serve the risen Savior. The Almighty God of glory. He's not a baby in a manger. He was born of a virgin under the law. Took upon himself the form of a man and kept the law. That's true. But when he was born of that virgin under the law, he was just as much God then as he was in eternity past. Or he will be in eternity present or future. All right. Now, yeah, we need to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. He is above the clouds and the sky. Oh, that we might not try to look into heaven with a physical eye, but with the eye of faith. God grant to us to look into heaven with the eye of faith. Do you see Him before the world was with the Father? Do you see Him in creation? Do you see Him leaving heaven to come to earth to take our place on Calvary's cross? Do you see Him living the perfect life without sin? Do you see Him standing condemned in our place before Pilate? Do you hear Pilate saying, I find no fault in Him? Do you see Him on the cross, wounded, bleeding, dying for lost sinners? Do you see Him looking at you tenderly? Do you see Him going to the grave where man had never laid? Do you see the empty tomb and the risen Savior? Do you see Him at the right hand of God making intercession for us? And are you looking for Him to come again? If you're saved by God's amazing grace, you ought to look for Him before the invitation. You know, and if He don't come tonight, you ought to get up in the morning looking for Him. And you ought to say with the prophet, even so, come Lord Jesus. You know, the reason a lot of people don't want Him to come, they're not ready for Him to come. They'd be ashamed. Well, if He was to announce His calling, if He was to announce His appearance, it's going to be in another 2 hours, most of us try to go home and get the trash out of the house before He comes. That's a shame. That's a shame. He's coming. End of the season, Paul said, I have no need to write to you. You know perfectly well He'll come as a thief in the night. But He's coming. Oh, sinner, will you receive Him? Oh, sinner, will you believe Him? Oh, Christian, will you trust and obey? Consider Jesus Christ. If we would only consider Christ Jesus, our Lord, what sweet peace would fill our bosom. And we could say that we're filled in all earnesty with joy unspeakable and full of glory. May the Lord bless you.